going by the wayside, it seems like, and I don't take you guys for granted. Thank you, Karen, as you practice with them, and the guys being willing to be willing to sing and share your gifts with us today. Well, before you get too settled in there, I just invite you to stand as we hear God's word today that comes before us. It is about 3 minutes after 10 o'clock, just so you know I'm aware of the clock. And reading from Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 16 is our text today. May the Lord help us to keep this in perspective as you hear the message today as well. Hebrews chapter 11, 1 through 16. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, he was good as dead, became descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of this country, if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Heavenly Father, use these words today as we study them, as we think on them, as we receive from you through your Holy Spirit a faith that is talked about here, that this will also be our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Yeah, I know it was a long time to stand, and I just kept going on and on, but it's okay now. Okay. I still love hearing kids in the service than not having kids. So, and I know it's bad on, it's worse than for moms and dads, but moms and dads like none. It's okay. You like those sounds. Today, I just want to begin by saying some things that have to do with faith that hope are an encouragement to you, or some food for thought. Feed your faith and doubt will starve to death. Feed your faith and doubt will starve to death. Faith is the wind that blows the sail of the ship of hope toward the desired destination. Faith is the wind that blows the sail of a ship of hope toward the desired destination. And the last one here, faith gives us a harbor where we can drop anchor and feel safe. And it kind of fits along with harbor of joy. Come to a place where you can drop anchor. Of course, that anchor is Jesus Christ. And when you have him, and he is your anchor, you not only have, you feel that feeling of safe and peace, but there's also the joy that comes with the knowing him, knowing that everything is in his hands as well. I just love the name of this church. And for those of you who went through the process of picking it out, Harbor of Joy, it's just got a nice ring to it. And when you think about it, you go like, well, who wouldn't want to come and be a part of this church? And I'm just so grateful for those that did that ahead of us before we came. In Hebrews chapter 11, we find a good description of faith. If you ever have trouble saying like, well, somebody asks you, well, when you talk about faith, grandpa, grandma, or mom or dad, what is that faith? Well, go to the first verse of Hebrews 11 because I think it pretty well sums it up. I read from the New International Version when it comes to the Bible, but you may sometimes have to start with the Living Bible as it's in even more simpler terms, especially when talking to children. And I'll probably say it in a way in the Living Translation that, or the paraphrase, that will be easier to understand. Now, faith is being sure. You know, it's not I hope so, I think so, those kinds of things. It is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That is faith. If there's something you can see and you know it's going to happen, then there's no faith involved in that. But it's something you cannot see, and yet you know it's there, and you believe in it, and you're trusting in God for all that he's promised, because God doesn't lie. What he says will happen, it will come true. No one has ever, ever been able to show where God has lied and did not come through, follow through with his word. So some of you are here today as we look at, I call it the Hall of Faith. You know, you got the Hall of Fame and all these different kinds of sporting things and actresses and movie stars, and there's a Hall of Fame that everybody kind of wants to get into, or they get elected to go there or chosen to be there. And that's only for a small portion of the people that live on this planet get to do that. When you look at the Hall of Faith that we find here in Hebrews chapter 11, I just want you to know that some of you, even though your name isn't here, but when you look at your kids, or your kids are looking at you, or your grandkids are looking at you in your lives, they see you as one of these ancients here. If you're 55 and older, you're an ancient. And I hope you're one that is commended for your faith in Jesus Christ. Because we look at verse 2, it says, this is what the ancients were commended for. And then it goes on, it repeats it over and over again by faith as it talks about certain people. You play that role in a huge way in the families that you have. Now, if you are the grandpa and grandma, or the great-grandpa and the great-grandma, you know, if you're the great-grandpa and great-grandma, you know that your time to be able to experience the promises of God are going to be here pretty soon. But we never know when that day is going to be. But Jesus said that we can all be prepared, even if we're young or anywhere of being 99 or older. We can be prepared because our faith will do that for us. Faith is solid and it's not wishy-washy, but remember this. Faith always has an object. And your faith is only going to be as good as the object that is attached to. Now, if your faith is attached on Jesus Christ and the cross on which he died for you, That is a good, strong place of faith. There's a lot of people today who talk about faith, but it's not on the cross. It's not on Jesus Christ. You have people who talk about karma, good karma and bad karma. I go, baloney. It's a faith that we find in the scriptures, in the Bible. That's the God that we worship. That's the God that gives faith through his word, as we sung about here this morning. Romans 10:17, I believe, is where you find that faith comes by hearing the message of Christ. So you being here today and hearing God's word read or preached upon, faith is here to come to you and to feed your soul and to just to envelop you in a way that you know that you can have certainty when you leave today that what you believe in and who you believe in is true and solid. I have come across people throughout my lifetime and ask them about their faith because they're in a nursing home or they're very, very sick. And it's like, I don't know if I'm going to see them another time or not. And we'll probably ask them, now if you should die today, where are you going to spend eternity? And I get a lot of different responses to that. People who have a faith in Jesus Christ often say, well, I know I'm going to go to heaven, and I won't have to go through what I'm going through now. And I go, good for you. Praise the Lord that you said that. It blesses me to hear that come from your lips. But you have others that go like, well, I'm not real sure. I think so. I hope so. And I'll push a little bit further and I'll probe and I'll go like, well, what do you mean you think so or you hope so? What do you base it on? And a lot of times they have no answer. And so I'll be able to help them and to say like, well, here's what God's word says. Do you believe it? Are you trusting in what he says? Well, I'd like to. And I said, well, why don't you? You can. It's free. I remember talking to one man in the nursing home and just asked him, do you believe in heaven? He said, oh, yeah, I do. And I said, well, do you believe that that you have a hope? And he kind of paused a little bit. He goes, well, I think I got hope. And I go, like, well, if you believe in heaven, you got to have hope. And I said, do you believe in forgiveness? And that just rocked his world. Because he couldn't answer that. Do you believe in forgiveness? And his eyes started to tear up. And I knew that I'd hit on something here. And I said, do you want to talk about it? He goes, no, I can't. I can't. And I said, well, I think now's a good time to talk about it because you don't have much time left. But I said, you don't have to if you don't want to. And he said, I'd rather not. I said, okay, I'm not going to push you. I just think... You know, I'm a pastor here. I'd be more than glad to listen and help you if I can. But if you don't want to talk about it, then that's fine. Just let it go. But I gave you the opportunity. Through a little bit more of the conversation, he comes back and he goes like, 25 years ago, my wife left me. And I've never been able to forgive her. I'm going, well, it hurt, didn't it? You haven't forgiven her after 25 years? No, I know it's wrong, but I can't. I said, well, God is willing to forgive you for anything you've ever done. There's only one sin that you and I would never be forgiven for. The unpardonable sin is when you reject the Holy Spirit. And usually anyone who's rejected the Holy Spirit, usually don't come to church because they don't want to know about a faith. They don't want to hear anything from the Bible. They're really hard, callous people who have rejected the Holy Spirit in their lives. They don't even want to talk about God. But if you want to talk about God and you're dealing with some unforgiveness in your heart and life, guess what? There's good news for you. God is still willing to forgive you and to accept you and to love you where you're at and to forgive you and bring you in to be part of his family. This guy never came to that point. I don't know whatever happened with him. And you don't know what happens in the middle of the night when you're not there, or the days you're not there to see him. But But you just trust those things with the Lord. Faith gives hope, even if we can't see it. There's questions that many people have. Many of you probably had these questions once in your life. You know, is there really a God? You know, is there really a heaven? You know, do miracles really happen? You know, we read about them in the Bible, we see them and listen to them, but do they really happen? I mean, it seemed like they happened way back then, but do they even happen today? And so the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, is very important because it could not be written if the answer to those questions were not yes, there is a God. Yes, there is a heaven. And yes, miracles do happen. You are a miracle if you are sitting here today, just by coming to church. You know that? It's a miracle that you're here. There's no reason why you should be here if God wasn't working in your life to tell you, I want you to go to church today. I want you to hear what is going to be said, what is going to be sung. It's for you. It's a miracle you're here because you could have rejected it. You could have stayed home. And so I know that Wayne Sunday is going to listen to this on the CD. I'm going, Wayne, don't worry. You'd be here if you could, but your back hurts. So I'm not talking about you. Just that you're listening to this on CD means you have a faith that's alive and is willing to listen. Will you be sure, or will you be seen in this hall of faith by your kids and grandkids? When they think about you, if you have kids, if you have grandkids, will they be reminded that you had a strong faith? And yet you would probably tell them, my faith is pretty weak. But I do believe in Jesus Christ and what he did for me. You are that important to your children if you realize it or not. And if you say, like, man, Pastor, I've gone these many years without him, I'm really not sure myself, well, I just say, well, start today. You know, pound that stake in the ground, and this is your stake of faith, and say, it starts today. No more of this wondering and hoping that everything's okay between me and God. I want to know today. I'm going to ask God to forgive me of my sins and ask me to be who he wants me to be, and I'll trust in him. I give him the steering wheel of my life. I'll get in the back seat and let him take care of my life. I'm going to trust him from here on out. I'm doing that today. Write the date down in your Bible. If you say, like, I'm so forgetful, when you always go back to your Bible or someplace where you wrote it down, write it on the back of your credit card. Every time you pull it out, it reminds you. I got saved on this day, right? Gave my heart to Jesus on this day. So why is faith so important? The answer is found in verse 6. It says this, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's why it's so important. You and I cannot please God any way, shape, or form if we do not believe that he exists and what he's done for us. It reminds me of a man that came to my office a number of years ago, and it was about 4:30 in the afternoon, and I'm going like, oh, why don't you come earlier? Why at 4:30? Because I don't know how long this is going to take. But I said, oh, you know, you got something on your mind because you came here to see me. He goes, yes, I do. And I said, so what is it? I just don't know if there's really a God. Can you help me? And I'm going like, well, tell me more. Why do you say there's no God? And he went on and he went on. And I'm asking God, okay, God, what do I do with a guy like this? And he was a druggie. He was unfaithful to his wife and his kids. And I said, you know, just by you coming to see me, I think God is telling you something. He's stirring something in your heart and life. Because why would you come here if there wasn't a God? And he thought for a while, he goes like, never thought about that. So I said, I'm going to read something to you. And I read him Hebrews 11, verse 6. I said, this gives you something to consider. Something to reread whenever you think that God doesn't exist. And read this verse. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Are you seeking him? Well, I think I am now. I said, well, what does it say? He will reward you if you seek him. Do you believe he exists? Well, it says he does. So I guess he exists. I do believe in that. I said, well, there, you're beginning. I said, let's get together next week and I'll check back with you to see where you've come with your journey here in life and your faith. Do you believe or not? He goes, okay, sounds good enough. He came back the next week, which I didn't think he'd come back. I figured, yeah, anybody says to the pastor, I'll be back next week to see you. And sometimes they just want to get out of your office and they don't want to see you again because you didn't tell them what they wanted to hear. But he came back to my surprise, and I said, well, this is good, to myself. And I said, so what do you think? And he comes into my office and he's smiling. I go like, so what's the smile on your face? He goes, I believe there's a God. I said, well, that is wonderful. And he said, I need to repair what I've done in my marriage and with my kids. And I said, well, where do you start with that? He goes, I don't know. That's why I came to see you. I said, well, let's start with forgiveness. Why don't you confess to God all that you have done to hurt them? And he goes, whoa. I don't know if I can remember everything. I said, well, it doesn't matter if you remember everything, but the things that are on your heart and mind, just tell me what they are. But I said, better yet, I'll start the prayer, and then you confess your sins, what you did to your wife or to your kids. You just say, Lord, forgive me for what I did to my wife. Forgive me what I did to my kids. And we went through that. And I just closed in prayer with him and said, Lord, you heard this guy's prayer. You are working in his life. You will help him in the days ahead. He's trusting in you. Thank you for this. And we talked some more, and he left the office. And guess who was in church on Sunday? He was in church with his wife. Two kids. He said it's not all over with, because I did a lot of damage and a lot of hurt, but we're starting. I said, well, you have to prove yourself. You've been a real idiot. And he goes, yes, I have been. And so he's working on it. And I said, let's keep in touch. Let's meet next week. Fill me in on what's going on. And we did that over a period of time. And his life had just changed, turned around completely. And I said, it's not me. It's what Jesus Christ has done in your life. And you believing in him, that's the power. It's in him. I'm just helping you, showing you the way. But Jesus did it all for you. Faith is important because it is impossible to please God. And I really believe that God works in going out after his sheep long before the sheep realize it. He starts working in your life way before you start thinking about him. Because he's the good shepherd. The good shepherd goes out to the sheep, and you know, sometimes you go like, well, I've been the black sheep in the family. Well, you know, if you saw that picture of Jesus holding a lamb, some of the pictures, you have to ask yourself, what color is that lamb? He's holding a black sheep. And that's you. That was me. Out of all the sheep he could have put in his arms, he took the ones who thought they were black sheep in the family and kept them close to his heart. What we find in chapter 11 are the names of a number of people. It's not exhaustive. You'd think that he started out with Adam and Eve. I mean, after all, they were the first perfect people, the first perfect couple, until chapter 3 in Genesis, where they listened to the temptation of the serpent, and they believed in his words rather than God's word, and sin came into the world. But what we find is that the first people that are mentioned in chapter 11 of Hebrews, it's the kids of Adam and Eve. Abel. Was Abel the firstborn or the secondborn of Adam and Eve? This is just to keep you awake. Was Abel the firstborn or the secondborn? Who says firstborn? Raise your hand. Who says secondborn? Raise your hand. Secondborn, you get it. Abel was the secondborn. It was Abel who had the love for the flocks, for the animals. It was Cain who had the love for the farmland, for the gardening, for the tomatoes and the cucumbers. And when it came to sacrifice to God, to worship him in their sacrifice, for some reason it was Abel who would give the first part of his flocks to God. And it was Cain who would bring his produce from the ground. But it wasn't so much the sacrifice that was brought to the Lord at that time. It was what was in the heart and the attitude in which it was given. Cain hated Abel. And it's the first place we find in Scripture, the first murder in the first family. The firstborn, Cain, kills his brother Abel because God appreciated his sacrifices more than his. Anger issues. Anybody here got anger issues? Don't raise your hand. But you can see where anger will lead you, where it will take you. The best thing for anger is saying, Lord, I got an anger problem here. Help me to not go along with it. Faith is the reason why all the names that are listed in chapter 11 of Hebrews are there. But it's not exhaustive. It's not everybody, as we'll find out next week, because this is a two-part sermon. Because we couldn't get done before 10:30, which I should be done now. Dean, don't throw that tomato yet. But I'll just wrap it up here because I didn't get to the third point. But I'll just tell you what it is in your notes. One of the things we'll talk about this more next week is the Hall of Faith are imperfect people. A lot of times we think that these are the giants of the faith, and we see that these are people who did no wrong. And so they were giants of the faith, but yet we'll see that they were still sinners. And the main point of today's message is that faith is a gift. It's not something that you and I can kind of conjure ourselves and make it happen. Gift comes from God. It comes from outside of us, given to us. Big difference. Oprah Winfrey has a faith. She talks about it a lot. But I'm just not sure it's a faith you find in the Bible. So just kind of keep that. You know, when you talk about people, we're talking about our faith, about this or that. You have to ask them the question, what do you mean by that? Let them explain that faith to make sure that you are on the same page as they are. When people talk about values, these are American values, family values. Well, what are they when you say that? Make them specifically come from their mouth and what they are. Because I believe a lot of people say those words and don't have a clue what they are. The main point is faith is a gift. The bottom line is that these people we find listed in Hebrews chapter 11, they knew that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those that we have in your Bible. People who are just like us, but yet they had a faith in you that a lot of people have no idea what this faith is. That they trusted you. They didn't know all the details of what you're asking of them, and yet they believed and they obeyed and they followed you. And they knew that they were just strangers, aliens in this world, knowing that there was a better place yet to come, because you told that there would be a city whose foundations were made by God. That anyone who believes in him would never be disappointed. And faith is where it all begins. And so, Lord, if there's someone here today that needs a faith that will assure them and will make them know positively that they are going to heaven, it is in the God that we find here in the Bible, who has never lied, who has never disappointed anyone, who has placed his or her faith in him. Even when life doesn't go the way that we want it to, we still have you. You are our anchor, and you will guide us and lead us because you've seen it all, you understand it all, you've gone before us with your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us and suffered for us. You understand our sufferings and the things we go through here on earth very, very much. And you want us to know that you love us and you care for us, even in times we wonder. There's times, Lord, where we say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Maybe today is one of those days. But Lord, we come to you today. We just simply say to you, Lord, I just admit today that I am a sinner. I don't always do what you want me to do. I know that I break the laws that we find in the scriptures. And all I know, Lord, is that I've sinned and I need you. I need your forgiveness in my heart and life today. Will you come? Take me as I am. Forgive me, and I want to thank you for listening to this prayer today. I know that you hear what I say, and I'm trusting in you from this day forward, that you will guide me and lead me. I'm trusting in you, but I need your help in even doing that. But I love you, Lord, because I know that you first loved me. And so, thank you for hearing and taking me for who I am and the way that I am. May you clean me up.